So we're going to talk about GeneFinch.com. And our guests again are Paul Nguyen, Sue Chan, and Chris Williams. Welcome to Mediation Station.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Paul, you've been here before. It's been a little while.
Yes, it's been a couple of years, so it's nice to see you again, Greg, and thank you for inviting us to Mediation Station.
Thanks for coming and taking the opportunity to share about your work, your efforts out in the community, and particularly the website, which is a vehicle or means to promote services, opportunities, just to give another perspective about Jane Finch that a lot of people have.
Well, we're actually coming up on our 10th year anniversary. The website actually started in March of 2004. That's when I purchased the domain name, jane-finch.com. But since over the years, we've managed to actually acquire the actual name, janefinch.com, without the hyphen.
Right.
But yes, it's been a very, you know, interesting and educational journey. And I met a lot of, you know, nice young people in the area who are actually really concerned about the community and they want to improve the community. So, you know, over the years, we specialize in, you know, creating digital media, educational information about the community, and try to give a positive image of what the Jane Finch community is like. So, you know, apart from hearing all the negative news reports you'd see in the news, you know, our goal is to try to combat that and show the positive side of Jane Finch.
Absolutely. And you've got a couple of colleagues with you. So starting with you, Chris, give a little bit of understanding about your background. What's going on for you?
Well, again, I'm Chris Williams, and I grew up in the Jane and Finch area. I lived there pretty much basically all my life, 20-odd years. And I grew up in the neighborhood. Me and Paul went to the same high school together, and that's where, you know, Paul got the idea to start the JaneandFinch.com, and I was also, you know, enthusiastic about starting such a endeavor. Mm-hmm. So we just, you know, came with the idea and just took straight to it as if we knew what we were doing during the time, you know. We were just, I guess it's a lot of ambition was coursing through our veins.
A lot of passion.
Yeah,
right?
Passion when we first created the JaneandFinch.com.
Right. And Sue?
Well, I was born in Vancouver and I grew up in Toronto for most of my life. I moved to Jane and Finch 8 years ago and I really loved what the website was doing for the community. So since then I've been involved and most of my work mainly revolves around sharing the stories of the immigrant experience and strengthening the voices of ethnic women in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Paul, you want to give a little bit more, you know? Since you've been on, like, a few years, but
well,
you're a multitasker, anyways.
I'm one of the older voices, so, you know, the goal is that we embrace a diverse range of opinions. And, you know, in the early days, we focused mostly on young black men in the neighborhood because they seemed to be they received the most flack, you know, especially, you know, conflict with the law and also, you know, just having issues in the community. So, you know, what I tried to do is to, you know, recruit new young blood in the community, you know, which includes Chris, Sue, you know, Mark Sims in the past.
Right.
And, you know, to try to, basically people have different stories to tell, and I think it's our job, you know, the JaneFinch.com as a platform to, you know, be a voice for the people. And what we try to do is not only be a singular voice, not just my voice, but to have people, other young people in the neighborhood who have something to say, who have, you know, a passion or art or some sort of skill, share it with the rest of the world to show that Jane Finch is full of vibrant young people.
Right, it's diverse. I mean, when I was involved, and I still am, but it was physically on Eddystone with the organization I was with. You know, Jane Finch represents over 100 different cultural, ethnic backgrounds, 120 different dialects, so it's one of the most diverse in Canada. I'm sure that's part of what your intention is, to be that platform to, you know, be able to connect the community with the broader community at large, right?
Yeah, you know, growing up in Jane and Finch actually offers you, you know, a unique experience that you probably wouldn't get anywhere else in Toronto, because when you grow up, you're growing up alongside a black guy, a brown guy, a yellow guy, so it's very, very a great experience growing up as a child, and we want to just share that with the rest of the world.
I appreciate that. So, you know, tonight we're our intention is to communicate about the website, though also about Jane Finch itself. So when we come back, let's explore what is Jane Finch, for example. You're listening to Mediation Station on CHHA, 1610 AM, Voces Latinas. Welcome back to Mediation Station. We're here with our three guests, Paul, Chris, Sue, talking about JaneFinch.com, or you're dropping the... It's Jane Finch, yeah. Okay. So, what is Jane Finch? I mean, we talk about it. Give us some clarity, a little more understanding about it.
So for those who don't know, Jane and Finch is actually an intersection north of the city of Toronto, and it's known around the world, unfortunately, for not the greatest things. You know, it's a little bit higher levels of poverty and crime that happen in the Jane Finch community. Mostly, it is made out of immigrant families and newcomers in the area. And, you know, it's mostly high-rise residential communities, a lot of buildings, a lot of concrete. And, you know, originally it was planned in the 60s as a low-cost place, housing for new families and new Canadians. But when they built it, there wasn't enough, you know, social services and support and infrastructure to support the community. So I think that's one of the reasons why we have the issues that we have in experience in Jane Finch today.
Yeah, absolutely. That there was good intention overall at the initial, though not enough planning or forethought was provided for on how the impact on the community and the deficient services, supports for the community creates, you know, unhappiness amongst, you know, a lot of things that cause social economic issues.
Yeah, to give the audience a little perspective, you just imagine like a few square kilometers and you have almost 80 to 100,000 people in that small space. So conflict is a natural result of, you know, having so many people in one small space.
Right. So, Sue, how did you get connected with the website?
The website?
Yeah.
Well, I obviously came in to the neighborhood with my own preassumptions, mainly influenced by what I've heard from people who didn't know much really about the neighborhood and especially the media. So when I first came to the neighborhood, I was really surprised at how different it actually was. And through a friend, I met Paul, and Paul actually invited me to come join him and help out with the website. And that's how I got involved, and it's been great.
So what do you do with the website? What's your role there?
I mainly produce content right now. As I said before, content that mainly focuses on the immigrant experiences that are virtually unknown to a lot of the Canadian audiences, and they're very important to me, and also to raise awareness on the issues that ethnic women go through and to empower their voices.
Mm-hmm. And Chris, how'd you connect?
Normally, I deal with mostly like the media or entertainment side, or even any sort of information that's required personally on the website that's up. And that's normally how I interact with the website, and in turn interact with the youth as well, because, you know, I get their insight of what they want to hear or see, or what we can possibly provide for them on the site, whether it's entertainment, information, things of that nature.
So you take some of their ideas, their concepts, and create it into something that's tangible to be presented on the website.
Right, because we want to give them something as well, but we want to make sure that it's something that they want as well. So.
Right, and it's really speaking to them
and
about them and what their message is that they want to communicate.
Correct.
Yeah? So what does it mean to each of you to be so committed to the community?
Well, for me, you know, growing up as a kid in Jane and Finch, you know, I've seen a lot of lack of opportunities because there's a lack of resources. And if you're growing up and, you know, you're from a poor neighborhood, then there's a lot of people have a lot of dreams and goals that they can't necessarily reach because of they don't have the resources to actually do these things. You know, so, you know, when I started the website, also one of my motives was to try to create opportunities for other young people. And, for example, you know, when Sue came in, she used to follow me and Mark around and just film behind-the-scenes stuff. And now she's actually, you know, taking a more active role and producing her own content and being the author of her own voice. And, you know, I'd just like to plug her recent achievement that Sue, last month at Queen's Park, recently received the National Ethnic Press and Media Council of Canada Award. and that's an award that was presented by the Lieutenant Governor of Ontario, the Honorable David C. Onley, and that was for her work, you know, producing content for, you know, telling the Canadian stories and the women's voice. So I'd like to congratulate Sue again for her accomplishments, you know, working together.
You're gonna put that stuff on the website itself?
The videos and the pictures are already on the website. Yeah. And if you want to get a glimpse of Sue receiving the award in at Queen's Park, the video's on our YouTube channel.
So how'd that feel for you?
Oh, I'm just really grateful. For me, this recognition is basically proof that the work that we're doing is actually working, and it's inspiring a lot of other youth in the area to be involved with building their community. And I'm very grateful.
I know we don't do our work because we're looking for a recognition. We're doing it because there's a purpose to assist other people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get the added benefit of somebody recognizing, being aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I don't know, I didn't expect this at all when I first joined the website. And it's actually really cool because now we have more volunteers working with the website who are aspiring journalists, artists, and just from various backgrounds, and it's very cool.
Right, yeah. And I know, Paul, you've received recognition too in the past.
I know
you don't want to do a shout out for yourself, but
we've been very lucky to be recognized for our work, and I think it's partly because what many people don't know is that the website is not funded and we don't receive any advertising dollars or any sort of income, and it's actually all based on volunteer contributions. So I think a lot of people respect that, and they see that, you know, you have so little, but you can actually make a change and make an impact in the community.
So in terms of when you say it's not funded, there's no direct funder for it. So where does the money come from? Because there are some hard costs.
Comes from my credit card, but also volunteer contributions and just the efforts and time of people like Sue and Chris.
Right. I think it's important for people to realize, you know, because that's your passion and your commitment to it. And also, potentially, if people make donations, is that something you accept as well?
We've received some help in the past. One quick story is I actually received a $1,000 check in the mail from an anonymous source, so that was kind of really interesting.
Yeah, very. I just think that it's important to get the message out about all these things and find ways to create better ways for the purpose of what we want to get out there.
And our moral is, if the kids from Jane Finch can do it, then no one else has an excuse anywhere else.
Absolutely. We're going to take another break and we'll come back. You're listening to Mediation Station on CHHA 1610 AM, Voices Latinas.
You are listening to Mediation Station on CHHA Radio Voices Latinas 1610 AM.
Welcome back. Got something in my throat here. To Mediation Station, the song played during the break is called Gingon Blow, performed by Jane Finch artist Marv Mula, and from a CD that was titled, Real Life on Air. And the artist in the second music break will also be from the same CD as well. So there's a lot of talent in the community, and it's a great opportunity to get that out, to get known, because people have experiences that are important to share with others and not just for themselves. I think that's really why, whether you're a singer or you're a painter or you're a poet, you want to get a message out. So we were here tonight about janefinch.com, which is also trying to get a message out, with Paul and Chris and Sue. And if you want to give us a call, it's 416-785-0680. So what other initiatives and involvement do you each have with the community?
Well, right now I'm focusing more on documentary filmmaking. One of my projects that I'm working on now is, I want to focus on telling stories that haven't been told in the Jane Finch context. So now we've done projects in the past, like a documentary called Know Your Rights, where it kind of teaches youth in the community, how do you act in a police confrontation? So what are your legal rights? That was something we did in the past. And now I want to focus on an experience that I don't think has been really talked about in the Jane Finch area, and that's a documentary called Growing Up Gay in Jane and Finch. And that's something I've been very curious about for the last few years. It's like, now we have, it's our culture, Canadian society is really open now. But in the Jane Finch context, it's not something that's really talked about. In fact, it's actually taboo. because you know some of the Jane Finch cats on the street are a little bit rough around the edges. So when it comes to these new concepts, mm-hmm. it's something that I think we need to address. And I think through filmmaking and online, we can showcase this story and try to get the word out there, raise awareness, and try to educate people on, you know, the different things that young people face growing up in the community. And that's also, you know, could be their sexual identity. And I think that's something important that the website needs to address. So that's one of the things we're working on.
I mean, it's a reality. It's happening. It's going on. Though, because of social pressures, community pressures, that experience is not spoken about or talked about.
Oh, definitely. Because I remember even just one of my homeboys, he would talk about, yeah, this guy walking down the street and he was wearing a pink shirt and someone stopped him and asked him to take the pink shirt off for no reason. Yeah. And the guy wouldn't comply. I don't know. And then, he got hit in the face. So, I mean, that's kind of some of the rougher experiences in the neighborhood. I don't know if you can speak about that, Chris.
There's similar situations like that. It's, for me, it's more of a educational thing that they lack, you know, the understanding. Just like any other thing or any other situation. And just like Paul said, it's just something that we want to bring to the attention of the community so they learn about the subject and are aware and maybe even know how to approach another young individual within the neighborhood on that particular subject as opposed to, you know, that individual feeling attacked.
Right, and you want individuals to feel safe in the community. You want them to be able to express themselves from their own self sense of identity. Right. And when people are suppressed and repressed, you know, they get gets unrest.
Yeah.
You know, and then people exercise other ways of trying to get that energy out. It's not always the most productive.
And I think, it's definitely important to raise awareness. I mean, the website was born out of rap music and the rap videos that we produced, you know, 10 years ago. And that's a subculture that not many people understood at the time. And we received quite a bit of flack for it, mm-hmm. where people accused, oh, this is gangster rap, this is violent. When actually it's their own life experiences that they had in the neighborhood and they're sharing it with the rest of the world. And it is important to share those stories because that's part of your identity, part of, you know, your life experience. And it's not something that should be censored. So, you know, the mandate of the website is to not censor anything and is, you know, to showcase all the diverse voices in the neighborhood, the full spectrum, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, the different ones, right? And without putting judgment on them.
Right.
Definitely. And because, you know, when we produced these materials in the past, we were heavily judged. And people accused us of, you know, very harsh things.
Right.
But we were just trying to help, you know, empower people from the community to share their stories, and whether it's through music, art, or videos, and you know, that subculture that was very important to the Jane Finch identity.
And in fact, I recall when you were on last, you mentioned about this one particular middle-aged, I don't know, white guy or something, who had this certain perspective about your work. Do you recall that?
Yes, we had our critics. Since then, I've actually, you know, met with this person face to face, and we have a good understanding. You know, I wouldn't say we're the best of friends, but I think communication is key.
Mm-hmm.
And part of, you know, resolving a perceived conflict is actually you have to just sit down and talk to somebody and let both sides air out their stories. And at least that way we can connect and, you know, work together towards a better future.
Right. You don't get change, real change, substantive change, unless you engage those who have different perspectives from you. If you just say, hey, no, they're different and forget it, we don't get along, you're going to be compartmentalized and separated and never have a more fuller, inclusive society.
And that's definitely what we don't want, and that's why we don't censor the voices from the community. And if people have a perspective on a certain thing, whether it's politics or, you know, opinion on something, we like to have all those opinions be heard.
And, oh, sorry, I Go just ahead. Want to add to that, and it's kind of another reason why we started the Jane Finch website, because what we realize is that a lot of young people, they feel that they're powerless, that they have no voice whatsoever. So we try to point them in our direction as a way for them to say what's on their mind, or as a way for them to say how they feel or how they perceive things, and see how many people agree with them, disagree, or maybe even come to a mutual understanding on the same situation.
Right. So why should the public care about the efforts and activities that you guys are connected with? Start with you, Chris.
Sure. The main reason I say that they should care, because we are trying to take a different approach in the sense of it's not only aid, but it's also a learning experience. So it's almost like, you know, the saying, you know, you teach a man how to fish, he can fish forever. And that's the kind of attitude that we would try to take towards even when we're trying to organize something or even aid another individual with their organization. We want to be able to leave the situation knowing that they will only do better, that they have learned something and they will progress further from whatever experience that we are able to indulge in together.
Right. What about you?
You know, I think that people should be concerned because Jane and Finch is a part of the City of Toronto. And it's, you know, it has a lot of immigrant families and newcomers. And I'm pretty sure every Canadian came from somewhere else. And it's important to, you know, embrace, you know, people who are just starting their life here and to, you know, make them feel included, because that's the way we can all live in together in racial harmony. And, you know, multiculturalism is a big, important identity of Canadians everywhere. And, you know, we're just leading the way, showing the rest of the world that how Canadian society, you know, where everyone can live together in peace and harmony, and actually, you know, we have a brighter future together.
And we all have an opportunity to benefit, to be enriched by diversity, by difference. Difference shouldn't be seen as a barrier or an obstacle.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. You know, you can go to a plaza in Jane and Finch, and there's all types of different ethnic foods. There's a Vietnamese pho restaurant right next to, you know, Jamaican cuisine, yeah, next to, you know, Indian cuisine, all in one spot. So it's actually, you can get a taste of the whole world in just one plaza.
Yeah, you provide a tour. I mean, mm-hmm, you know, it's one thing, Jane Finch, right? So it's not a walled space. It's an open space, per se. People, it's about coming in and engaging and experiencing the diversity of the community, and also the community itself, its members, going out in the broader community and sharing their experiences. So it's a mutual collaboration.
Definitely. And with the website, I mean, you get a taste of the community. It's like a virtual tour online. And, you know, you'll learn about different cultures, and hopefully that will open up your mind and you'll go out and experience more and learn about the world.
So what efforts would be more meaningful to deal with changing things in terms of, you know, there are these perceptions, and a lot of times people, that's their reality. People just leave it. They don't want to get to know, intentionally understand. I use the symbols of an iceberg to represent the community. And an iceberg is like a large mass. What you see is not necessarily what is, right? It's only about 10%. The rest of the mass is below the waterline. So if nobody makes an intentional effort to learn, go below the waterline and learn the 90%, their reality is based on the perception. So how to get some kind of different perspective on that?
One thing that we have tried, just like how we were saying about the Know Your Rights video, and things that we are trying to do is just show the opposite side. So, I mean, if you see in the news they're saying this and that is happening at Jane and Finch, we also like to actually bring you the information from within Jane and Finch and say, okay, you know what, whether it is actually how it was perceived or this, it didn't happen here. It happened further down the street. It had nothing to do with our area on a whole. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
and I think that kind of information is what's needed so that people can understand that, you know, it's not always, like you said, what they perceive.
The reality is
right,
much deeper and broader,
right,
and totally, totally different.
Completely.
People use the simplest ways to try to connect things. And, okay, so even if it's not in Jane Finch, it's like, it's close to Jane
Finch,
it's
close
so,
enough, so let's
you know,
say,
we'll label it anyways. So we're going to take another break. We'll come back. We'll have our last segment for the day. You're listening to Mediation Station on CHHA, 1610 AM, Voces Latinas.
You are listening to Mediation Station on CHHA, Radio Voces Latinas, 1610 AM.
Welcome back to Mediation Station, and we're talking JaneFinch.com, the website, and its story. And we're here with Paul and Chris. Sue has just taken a momentary break. Maybe she'll get back to us. Maybe not. Nevertheless, her presence is here. So just to also state, the song played at the break, was called Never Fallen, Struggles, performed by a couple of artists, a brother and sister, Verticality and Seabone, and also from the same CD, Real Life on Air, Jane Finch community members. So how do you know if there's any positive change actually happening within the community? Not that it's like you have to put up a billboard and say that. I mean, these are more organic things in everyday life, and there are the struggles that continue, like other communities. So within the Jane Finch, because that's the focus today.
You know, well, I've received, emails from around the world from youth, congratulating the website for inspiring them.
Areas, or even when they're pursuing a certain advent to try to experience outside of Jane and Finch, and I'm happy to say there's a few of them that I have, and they're actually doing pretty well. Just like how Paul was saying, sometimes we get calls on personal issues and, you know, very touchy, and we try to help as much as we can, or we're able to. But what I noticed, one of the main things is just that there's more talking, and that was a thing in the past that wasn't, it wasn't really highly done. But now I notice, you know, especially with the young people, they're more likely to come and ask you a question or tell you how they feel, as opposed to, you know, just keeping it bottled up and then, you know, using it as aggression later
right. For
something else. So that's one change that I've slowly have seen personally. And, I thank my neighborhood for, you know, changing in this manner. And, you know, I love it because I love to hear the different experiences from those who live within our community, you know?
Yeah, and also, I mean, for change to happen for me, it's like people have to be open.
Right.
They have to allow for change to happen. It's a constant in our lives. It's going to happen regardless. So you might as well get involved in some active way in helping to help with that change.
Right.
Otherwise, change is going to be imposed on you, and it's not necessarily always what you want.
Right, right.
So if you can help create the change.
Yeah.
You know, that's an intention of your website, is through you is the energy, is the foundation.
Well, you know, through the website, I'd like to foster the next, you know, generation of young leaders.
Yeah.
And, you know, over the years, you know, if you want to see if it has affected people's lives, you know, I just look at my own immediate team of volunteers, which includes Sue, Chris, and Mark. And over the years, they have been, you know, heavily featured by the, you know, the mainstream media as voices for the community. And that's something I'm very proud of, and I'm very proud to continue to support their endeavors and to see their successes as young people in Jane and Finch. Because when you're growing up as a kid, you can't even imagine even just going on the radio or going on television or even being heard, or that your opinions even matter. So we basically, the website demonstrates that your thoughts do count, and that you do count as a person, as a community member of Jane and Finch, and as a part of the larger city of Toronto.
And it'll lead to other opportunities for each of you as well. You know, somebody will say, oh, that person, yeah, that, how about, and then they approach you and they say, hey, get involved with this kind of work or this initiative.
Right.
Right?
I mean, we've had a few situations like that in the past. I mean, I remember helping with Beats to the Streets when they were running, and that was a very amazing program. It's unfortunate that they're gone. But whenever we get approached, when we do see a position that we can definitely help with to the fullest, we don't hesitate. And that's the kind of communication that we enjoy with within our community as well as outside of our community, so we can assist, you know? Because at the end of the day, it's like Paul said, it's a bigger picture.
Right.
And we try to get the bigger picture as much as we can.
So we don't have a lot of time left. What message would you like to get out there as part of, you know, the intention from tonight?
My ultimate message is, you know, with a website like janeandfinch.com, we want to show youth, you know, in the community and abroad, that you basically can do anything you want to do. You can be what you want to be. You know, in the past, you know, we had people become, you know, producers and interviewers, and we've interviewed the likes of, you know, Mayor David Miller, Maestro Fresh West has come down to the neighborhood to film a interview in the basement. We've went out and met people like former heavyweight, UFC heavyweight champion Randy Couture, who's also in the Expendables, and we interviewed with him. You know, Mark interviewed him and actually got taken down and spanked by Randy Couture.
That's so interesting, yeah.
It just shows that you could be from Jane and Finch. It doesn't hold you back from anything. You can go out there and be whatever you want to be.
And for me, I just, you know, like we were saying before, you know, to always remember that you have a voice, that you, your opinion does matter and it does count. And even like within our neighborhood, if you ever feel that, you know, your opinion doesn't count or you feel that your voice is unheard, by all means, that's why janeandfinch.com is there. And, you know, you just send us your concerns and we'll definitely address them as long as we're able to.
Yeah, and that's what I also wanted to ask about. If people want more information regarding your work and the website, janeandfinch.com, how can they reach out to you?
Oh, that's the beauty of our organization's name is you can find us easily, janeandfinch.com, on the World Wide Web. You know, our emails are on the website, and also my personal cell phone is there, so I could be reached anytime. So feel free to contact me or Chris.
Definitely. Just give us a call, and we address basically any situation that we're able to. As well as for our site, the same thing what I was saying with having the voice, to always remember that we do also have, you know, sections for art, poetry, you know, written word, anything that you want to express to the neighborhood and the community, by all means, feel free to send it to janeandfinch.com, and we'll definitely put it up for you.
Do people have to actually be a member of the Jane Finch community?
To be honest with you, not necessarily, because we had a lot of people that lived within Jane and Finch, and mm-hmm. they've recently moved out of the area. Some right. even moved to the States, and whenever they have their story about when they were here in Jane and Finch, we gladly accept it, by all means. I mean, we don't stop. Like we said, we're that totem for your voice, so we try our hardest to make sure that it's heard.
And just briefly, any future plans for yourself?
Me personally, I'm just working more with entertainment and video. Hoping to start, you know, little short stories and things of that nature for the janeandfinch.com website, pertaining to the neighborhood and things that young people as well as older people may have.
Older people like me, right?
Yeah. me too. That may come across, and, you know, kind of create a platform for discussions on certain things that happen in everyday life.
Any brief future developments?
You know,
or the same
old,
same old?
I'd like to make a movie about Jane and Finch community one day. But for now, I'm always looking for new young voices, new volunteers who want to contribute to the website to be the, you know, future voices of the website, because I'm getting long in the tooth here. And I think we need new perspectives and a fresh perspective. So if you're interested in volunteering with us, please contact me.
All right. I want to thank both of you, plus Sue, for being here tonight and doing this. You got any, you can give us a call or contact us at Mediation Station. Tune in next week. See you sometime, Mom and Daisy.